Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to Him.
Oh, Amen. Amen and amen. As you look to the hills from which cometh your help, you know that your help cometh from the Lord, because he is holy. Amen. I thank God for my Jesus, because my Jesus, well, see, I'm grateful for my Jesus, because if it were not for him, for his sacrifices, amen, none of us would be here today. So because of the sacrifices that my Jesus made, I am able to give him the praise, the honor, and the glory that he deserves, despite the fact of what's going on within me, despite the fact of what's going on around me. I will give him the praise because he is holy.
Yes, yes.
So good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning. It is Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, for another day.
Yes,
to celebrate. Another day to get
yes.
it in order. Another
yes.
day to say hallelujah.
Another,
hallelujah. Day. To say thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to hold us up, amen. Brother Tony, will you please bless us, sir?
God bless everyone this morning. Praise the Lord for allowing us to get up one more time. Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Zion calling me to a higher place of praise than on the mountain. Magnify his name. Tell all the people, all the nations that he reigns. Zion calling thee to a higher place of praise. Zion calling me to a higher place of praise. Stand on the mountain, magnify his name. Tell all the people, all the nations that he reigns. Zion calling me to a higher place of praise. Oh, Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. Stand on the mountain, magnify his name. Tell all the people, all the nations that he reigns. Zion is calling thee. Zion calling thee. Zion is calling thee. Zion is calling thee. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. We shall now have our affirmation of faith by Minister Rosalind Thomas, followed by our invocation by Minister Lisa Green, and our scripture by Minister Kyle Garrett.
Good morning, saints. Let us unite in the historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and buried. The third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Dear sweet Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for preserving the scriptures and your book for our blessing. Lord, protect us from any misinterpretation. Help us to learn to interpret your word according to the teaching of your Holy Spirit. And let the reading and understanding of your word be one of life's greatest joys. Give us open eyes to perceive your presence and bold hearts to bear witness to it and to those around us, as well as ears to hear. Lord, we long to join you in your gift of everlasting life, which you gained for us in your self-sacrificing death and resurrection. Allow us to serve your people until the day when we celebrate together the joy of your kingdom, where you live and reign forever and ever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Scripture is going to be from the book of Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. And I shall be reading from the New King James Version. The scriptures opened. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I have read to you Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, the word of God for the people of God, that those who are be redeemed, be continually blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Rosalind Thomas, Minister Lisa Green, and Minister Kyle Garrett. Amen. As we are at our point of our service, we have our announcements. Just let me first say to you that I love you all, and I'm so grateful to be here just one more time with you, amen. God saw fit for us to be together just one more time. As we are here in Michigan, amen, we're getting ready to lift some of the protocols, amen. But still, please be careful with what's going on. Even though we've been vaccinated, you know, please be careful still. If you still feel comfortable with wearing your mask, please do so. Amen. Just please stay safe. Amen. And look after the person next to you as well. Amen. It is a true blessing. You know, if you can look at yourself in the mirror after everything that has transpired, if the blood is still running warm in your veins after everything that has transpired, if you can get up and walk around after everything that has transpired, you are blessed. You are blessed, and you are highly favored. You see, I don't take those lightly. When I say that I'm blessed and highly favored, it's because I know that my God has done some amazing things in my life, and he continues to do it every single day. So if you have survived this, know that you are blessed. Know that God has a work and a mission for you. As we are celebrating our missionaries, amen, this is the fifth Sunday, which is Missionary Sunday within the CME Church, amen. I asked our missionary president, who is a fireball, amen. I love her so dearly because she keeps me on my toes at all times, amen. And she continues to pray for me and my family. And I tell you, I don't know what I would do without this young lady. But I would like to present to you for a greeting. She wants to bring greetings to the body, Sister Gail Blakely, our missionary president. Ms. Blakely, you have the floor.
Thank you, Reverend. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And may God give his blessings to all of those within the sound of my voice on this blessed day. Fifth Sunday is Missionary Day at Fuse, and I would like to thank God, our congregation, and our pastor, Reverend Townsend, for allowing our church to continue with this rule within our Methodist stock contribute to all of our missionary programs and requests made. This conference year, we have been truly blessed in all of our efforts, including the most recent annual event, the Jamaican Festival. I'm asking for special prayers for three of our missionary members, Jesse Burrell, Janice Campbell, and Darylyn Harrington. And as the young people in our church would say, I would like to give a special shout out to our pastor, Reverend Dante Townsend. Through all of our trials and tribulations and dealings with this virtual church, he has not complained or made any excuses for our performance. He continues to lift us up by any means necessary. Our missionaries at Fuse are grateful for him. Thank you, Reverend Townsend, and continue to do what you do. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We shall now have our altar call. Minister Kyle Garrett.
Amen. That has come to the throne, that has come to the throne. The altar call. This is a time that I want to just tell God how amazing, he knows how amazing he is, but I just want to let it be known and pray as I pray. more souls to what is coming and getting souls ready to receive, being able to open to receive what God has for them. Because some may hold back, but they have to be willing to receive and open their hearts. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that everyone under the sound of my voice, first and foremost, if we have caused any wrong, that you forgive us of our sins. That's first and foremost. We thank you, God, for your son's sacrifice. And Lord, I ask that you would be able to heal us where we need to be healed, that you prepare our hearts and our minds, that you would, in your word, that you would give us a clean heart and that you would clear us of any of the impurities that may offend you, Lord. We ask, dear God, that everyone that is within the armed forces, dear God, that you have your angels put a special protection around them, that anyone that is within the holding public office, that you would shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. And dear God, I ask that you would definitely put a hedge of protection even around our president, dear God. Lord, I ask that you anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And Lord, I ask that you would watch over our pastor and our leader, that you would allow him to continue to be great and to be able to spread the message to each and every age group, dear God, and that they will be able to see you in him. And now, God, I ask that you would bless us, keep us, and preserve us until you come again. And in these things, we give you the utmost thanks. In the mighty, matchless name that is above every name, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And while we remain kneeled at the altar, let us also lift up all the sick and the shut in, anybody that's battling, that's fighting, that may be ill, sick, or hurting.
Yes.
I offer up a blessing to you all right now. I ask, Father God, that you would come into the house, Father God.
Come in.
Cleanse some hearts right now, Father God. Mend some bones right now, Father God.
Yes.
There's somebody right now, Father God, that feels as if no one loves them, Father. There's someone right now, Father, that's on a battlefield right now and they're ready to give up, Father. But we know that you can be their shield of protection.
Yes, you can.
There's somebody right now, Father God, that's laying in the bed, Father, that needs your divine visitation.
Yes.
Touch, Father God, your people. Bless them right now, Father God. Not only you, Father God, but every church that calls upon you as their Lord and Savior, I ask right now that your spirit will renew them, Father.
Yes. Renew them.
Touch, Father God, my mother. You know what she's in the need of, Father God. Bless all the members of Fuse, all the members of this Jubilee Affair, all these great ministers and preachers and missionaries on this line right now, on this network, Father, that you would bless them.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And Father God, bless me. Search me out, Father God.
Yes.
Touch and anoint right now, Father.
Touch and anoint.
Fill me up, Father.
Yes.
Renew, Father God.
Renew.
Refresh.
Yes.
My walk with you.
Revive.
I thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In the mighty name of Jesus that we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Together we say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
And Minister Lisa, please bless us with a song.
We were created for your glory. We were created for your purpose. We were created for your pleasure. Have your way. We were created for your glory. We were created for your purpose. We were created for your pleasure. Have your way. Make it personal. Say, I was created for your glory. I was created for your purpose. I was created for your pleasure. Have your way. Here I am, arms outstretched, empty cup. Fill me up till I'm overflowing. Here I am, empty cup. Pour it in, fill me up till I'm overflowing. Here I am, here I am, empty cup, fill me up till I'm overflowing. We were created for your glory. We were created for your purpose. We were created for your pleasure. Here we are. We are created for your glory. We were created for your purpose. We were created for your pleasure. Here we are. Here we are, arms outstretched, cup, fill us up till we're overflowing, till we're overflowing. Here we are, arms outstretched, empty cup. Fill me up, fill me up, fill us up till we're overflowing. created for your glory. We were created for your purpose. We were created for your pleasure. Here we are. Amen.
Here I am, Lord, with my arms outstretched. Fill me up, Father. Fill me up, Father, with your glory. My arms are outstretched to you. I just thank you, Father God, for this time, for this opportunity, Father, to be able to preach your word, Father. I ask you, Father God, that you would remove me out of the situation and step in, Father. Father God, I ask you, God, that you would open up the spiritual ears of your people, Father, that they would hear, receive, and apply, Father, what you have to say on high, Father. Anoint me afresh, Father, like only you can. Continue to fill me up with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Pastor Townsend, for this opportunity that I do not take lightly. I truly appreciate this honor. Thank you to the ministerial staff and the members of Fuse for their love and their support always. Thank you, Ms. Gail Blakely, our missionary president. And thank you, HubNet, for the platform for Fuse to be able to continue spreading the gospel through Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 44 through 49 that was read earlier. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are the witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven." My subject on this morning, Christ's purpose, our mission. A young boy asked his mother and grandmother to play with him in his new sandbox in the front yard. He equipped each of them with a shovel put to use at his request. As the two women became involved in conversation, they began to notice the people passing by. They seemed very interested in what they were doing. It was then they realized that they had become so busy in talking, they had not noticed that the little boy had gone into the backyard to play, leaving them alone in the sandbox. You see, it's easy as time goes by to lose your focus on what you're doing and why you're doing it. But if you forget what your purpose is, you can look awfully silly. It's not uncommon for churches to forget what their mission is and to get involved in all sorts of activities and programs that they do not serve that mission. Thus, we must clear about our mission as a church and how we are to fulfill it. The risen Lord Jesus spells this out in our text. These words may have been spoken on the first Resurrection Sunday, or they may represent a summary of what Jesus taught the disciples over the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. It was this teaching that transformed these men from being confused, discouraged, and fearful into bold, courageous witnesses who were willing to die for their faith and mission. Our Lord's teaching is not just for the apostles or for those in full-time ministry. Every member of Christ's church is to be involved in seeking first the kingdom of God. We all must take Christ's purpose as our purpose, spells out what our mission is and how we are to fulfill it. The number one, our mission is to proclaim repentance for forgiveness of sins in Christ's name to all the nations. In spelling out this mission, Jesus first mentions the source of it, namely God's word. He then gives the subject of the mission the work he had accomplished on the cross and the necessary response to it. And he gives the scope of the mission, the world, or all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The source of our mission is the word of God. Just as Jesus had explained to the men on the Emmaus Road the things concerning himself in all the scriptures, so here he explains concerning his death and resurrection that all things which are written about me in the laws of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The word must is the same Greek word that we found in the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 7 and in verse 26, pointing to the necessity of God's sovereign plan being fulfilled. Luke wants us to know that the death of Jesus was not an accident, nor ultimately the result of sinful men getting the upper hand. It was God's sovereign of many Old Testament scriptures. This is the only biblical reference to the three divisions of the Old Testament. Usually, it is referred to as Moses and the prophets. This is more thoroughly division, emphasizing that every part of God's revelations point to Jesus Christ suffering for our sins and rising triumphantly from the dead to reign in the power and glory. Daryl Bach explains, Luke's point is that Jesus is showing how the whole of the Old Testament teaching fits together as promised and how it was always intended to be seen in this way. We need to understand how important that the written word of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. His life fulfilled what God had written through his servants in that book. He was not a maverick doing his own thing. He lived in obedience to God's word. Everything he did was in relation to the phrase, it is written, with regard to our mission. This implies two things. Number one, we are not free to make up our own message. The message is fixed in God's word. The disciples were not a bunch of clever religious geniuses who came up with some new ideas. They were not profound philosophers who speculated on about what God is like and how we can get in contact with him. They were witnesses of these things. Faithful witnesses don't make up a story. They tell what they have seen and heard, and what they saw and heard in Jesus Christ was completely in line with what God had revealed in his written word. Even so, our message is contained in the Bible. It is God's revelation to us about himself, about our sin, and a need for a Savior, Savior whom he sent, Jesus Christ. We are not free to modify the message. It isn't to our liking. We are not free to take part of its appeals to us and to skip the parts that steps on our toes. No. Yet many popular preachers just do that. One of them tells us that if Jesus could speak to us today, he would not tell us that we are miserable sinners. Rather, he would tell us to be proud of who we are, to stop putting ourselves down, and to stop enjoying the dignity that is our God-intended destiny. He said that God wants all of us to feel good about ourselves and that we are born again to be changed from a negative to a positive self-image. Self-esteem, the new reformation. This man sells millions of books in Christian bookstores, and yet he's making up his own message, not proclaiming the message of the Bible. God's word is the source of our mission and message. Number two, we cannot understand God's word without God's enabling. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 through 16, this shows us that the deity of Christ and that he had the power to open up the minds of men to understand what before had been hidden or confusing to them. The Bible reveals to us the things that the spiritually discerned, with which the natural man cannot understand. Even though the disciples had been born again, their minds were not able to grasp what Jesus had predicted about his death and resurrection until this point. Jesus had to open their minds, and he had the power to do it. Any message or teaching that diminishes the full deity of Jesus Christ is not in line with the scripture. This also shows us our total dependence on the Lord if we want to fulfill his mission. He has to give us. He has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that those who do not know Christ are spiritually blind, unable to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. No amount of clever salesmanship or persuasive arguments on our part can lift that spiritual blindness. We may be able to talk to a person into making a decision, but only Christ can impart sight to the spiritually blind eyes. So as we share the gospel, we must pray that God would open the person's mind to the truth of his word. In addition, we must pray that he would open our minds as we read and study his word so that we can understand it more clearly. The source of our mission is God's word. We need to be clear about its core message. The subject of our mission is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead so that repentance for forgiveness of sins could be proclaimed in his name. The main subject of the Bible is how sinners can be reconciled to a holy God. The Bible is abundantly clear that we cannot be reconciled to the holy God by our good works. If anyone could make it to God by good works, then there was no need for Christ to die on the cross. His death, he paid the penalty that we deserve, satisfying God's perfect justice so that he is free to offer a pardon to anyone who trusts in what Christ did on his behalf. This is why Christ's death was necessary. Hallelujah. Without it, therefore, can be no forgiveness of sins. We need to be clear and make it clear three things about the work of Christ on the cross. The work of Christ on the cross demands, calls us to proclaim repentance. A sermon I heard a while back entitled Christ First and Last Subject pointed out that Jesus began his ministry preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And he ends it by telling disciples to proclaim repentance. Repentance is the key note of his ministry. Repentance means to turn to God from our sins. It is not to separate from saving faith, but it is the flip side of saving faith, so that is often used interchangeably for it to draw out the aspects of true repentance. Illumination, where God opens our eyes to the horrible nature of our sins. Humiliation, where we lay aside our pride and our own merit to plead with God for mercy. Destitution, where we began to hate our sin. And transformation, where we leave the sin we formerly loved, not just outwardly, but in our hearts. While God imparts repentance and saving faith at the point of salvation, we do not leave it there. It is a lifelong process for the believer. Repentance and remission are not merely elementary truths and milks for the babes. The highest standard of sanctity is nothing more than a continual growth and practical knowledge of these two points. The brightest saint is the man who has the most heart-searching sense of his own sinfulness and the liveliest sense of his own complete acceptance in Christ. How can a person who has a hard heart towards God, a person who is blinded by pride in his own goodness, a person who is dead in transgressions and sins, repent? Is he supposed to turn inward and work it up somehow? That would be impossible. The Bible clearly states that while it is our duty to repent, God must grant repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. If you lack repentant hearts, and God is to give you one, keep asking until he grants it. When he does, you will not boast in your repentance, but only in God's free and grace. The work of Christ on the cross directs us to proclaim forgiveness from the penalty of sin, the repentance of the sinner. Forgiveness of sins is the first and foremost need of every person who has sinned against God. They don't first need to know how to succeed in life. They certainly do not first need to know how to improve their self-esteem. Sinners need to know how they can obtain forgiveness from God. God's answer is forgiven when they repent from their sins and trust in God's blood that was shed on the cross. Such forgiveness is not partial. It is total. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. The forgiving sinner who has trusted in Christ's shed blood need never fear that God will give up some hidden sin at the judgment. As Paul proclaims, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. He is the one who died. Yes, who justifies. Yes, rather, who was raised. Who is the right? Who is sitting at the right hand of God? Who also intercedes for us? Hallelujah. Thus, nothing can separate us from God's great love in Christ Jesus. God's forgiveness in Christ is granted instantly at the moment the sinner repents and turns to Jesus Christ for pardon. It is not based on the earning it by our penance or our merit over time. It is granted by his free and abundant grace because God grants his grace and because he has promised never to take back his gift. It will never be rescinded. You don't have to worry about a recall. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about him taking it back. You don't have to worry about him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not like how when you get a new car and you get something in the mail that says, oh, we recall, you got to bring it back in. No, he already will give it to you right on the spot. Hallelujah. Further, God's forgiveness is offered to the worst of sinners. Jesus told the disciples to proclaim this message of forgiveness beginning from Jerusalem in chapter 24, verse 47. What had just happened in Jerusalem? They had killed their Messiah. In spite of the repeated warnings and in the evidence of repeated miracles, the religious leaders in Jerusalem had wickedly murdered the Lord of glory. Surely the disciples weren't hearing the Lord correctly. Jerusalem, you want us to proclaim forgiveness of sins in this sinful city? Yes. God, his judgment on that city was delayed. The Lord's word, beginning at Jerusalem, tells us that there is no sinner that God cannot save. Our mission is to offer forgiveness of sins to the worst of sinners if they will repent. The work of Christ on the cross directs us to offer forgiveness to repentant sinners in Jesus' name. If this message came from men, we could not believe it. If the disciples had to concoct a plan that if the worst of sinners would repent and believe in Jesus Christ, we would instantly and totally and permanently be forgiven, we would have said, that can't be. But the risen Lord Jesus Christ commands them to proclaim that the message in his name, that is, his authority, and by the virtue of everything that is in him and in everything that he did in his death and resurrection, is the fulfillment of the scriptures. If you are sharing Christ and someone tries to argue with you, don't join in the argument as if it's your word against his word. Rather, point them to God's word. You cannot raise a dead sinner to life, but the name of Jesus can. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that have been given among men by which we must be saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we are to go in Jesus' authority proclaiming who he is and what he has done. The subject of our mission is the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who offers forgiveness of our sins to every repentant sinner in his name. Thus, the source of our mission is the word of God. The subject of our mission is the work of Christ. The scope of our mission is in the whole world. Remember, your mission is to be a witness. Jesus didn't call us to champion debaters or to be brilliant orators or astute philosophers. He called us to be witnesses. The job of a witness is simple. He tells what he has seen and heard, like the man born blind who Jesus healed. You may not be able to debate theology, but you can say one thing that I do know, whereas I was blind. See, in John chapter 9, verse 25, you can tell people, I know that if you will repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive all your sins. He did it for me, and he will do it for you. Our mission for forgiveness of sins in Christ's name to all the nations. And how will he do it? It will be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Minister Townsend, for that awesome, awesome word. Amen. Thank you for reminding us about the mission that's been set before us. Amen, amen, and amen. As I open up the door of the church, that door being Jesus Christ, is there anyone here that is ready to reclaim the mission that's been set forth by God? Is there someone here who has lost their way? Whether you be a layperson, a minister, even pastors, it's time that you get back up and get back in the race. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and deed. Anything that I have done to offend you, I ask that you would forgive me of that sin. I repent before you. Accept me into your family. Use me mightily. And I will go where you send me. I am yours, our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that prayer, and you sincerely meant it within your heart. Salvation belongs to you. That if you died this very moment, you would go unto heaven. Now that's the good news. The good news of the gospel. Find yourself a Bible-based church. Bless them with your presence. Assist them with your tithes and your offerings. Pray with them in the spirit. And watch what God will do for you. Happy birthday. Live your life, a life of Christ. Amen. Reverend Pat, will you please bless us with the doxology?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the one who died so that we may live, may his love and his mercy, but most of all his victory, rest, rule, and abide in our hearts forever. And the church that believes in the saving power of Jesus the Christ, says amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
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 Amen. God bless you. May God keep you. We are signing off.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to him.
Sons and daughters, we pray.